At this point, we should mention you can put up questions or criticism or remarks anytime. Just step up, grab yourself a mic, and say it. We are continuing our way. We also have questions still here on the panel, but please feel free to intervene. Yeah, there is somebody? Okay, yes.
Yeah. I have a question. I consider myself a digital artist, and I wrote this program that I'm going to be speaking about on Saturday called Jashaka, and it creates immersive graphical art in 3D space. And I was inspired kind of by Dali when I wrote it, because he was getting into holograms, and I thought this would be cool, and there was none that could do it. But now that it actually works, and I'm using it to create what I consider my art, I'm using other people's works, video clips I find on the web, images, and so on. And I'm concerned about how I protect myself from people turning around and saying, hey, that's copyrighted, that's copyrighted, that's copyrighted. You can't use that, you can't use that, you can't use that, because I'm going to use it anyway. And I figure it's just going to cause problems, you know?
I'm a bit afraid that this is actually a legal question, where you have to ask a lawyer and not us.
Well, I mean, she was saying that, you know, she uses other images, and you use your text art generator, and I mean, what do you do to make
sure? I have an answer, actually.
Yeah, okay.
I don't have a legal answer, but the answer I have is, I think you don't have to be worried, because as long as you don't make any money out of it, as long as you're not a famous artist, you don't have to worry.
Okay, cool.
I think you might have to worry if you're using recognizable fragments of somebody else's work. In the United States, they can sue you for that if they choose to. They may not choose to, in which case you're safe. The fact is, in the United States, the legality of a copyright violation is tested only in a court of law. And what that means is that if you win the case, it's legal, and if you lose the case, it's illegal. You don't know until you've actually been sued.
But suppose I'm not in the United States.
Okay, where are you, if I may ask?
Online.
You're where?
Online, in like the internet.
Well, the jurisdiction is more complex in that case. I mean, I'm not a lawyer, so you can't take anything I'm saying as legal advice, okay? I can't take any responsibility for what I'm saying here, because I'm not a lawyer. But I think you need to take responsibility for your own feeling of ownership over it. I mean, maybe what you should say is that what I'm doing is a form of exchange with these artists. And if I'm denying them the right to own any part of what I'm doing with their work, then I shouldn't own it either.
Okay, thanks.
I come up with another question to you. I think many, if not most of us, have heard the opening lecture by Evan Moglen. And he made some statements that are much relevant to our panel, and I would like to pass them over to us. Well, first of all, he said that the history of music was kind of disrupted by the invention of Edison's phonograph, because that allowed to turn music into a commodity. Before, music was just freely flowing. It was songs that got transmitted via tradition, and everybody just replayed them. But through the phonograph, you could sell music, and you could build a music industry. Now he says, through digital media, music becomes what it used to be. It's becoming streams of information again, and not a commodity you buy in a store and where you can build an industry with. So we're returning to a kind of natural or, I don't know, original status quo of music. So if we take this theory and apply it to media in general, would you say this is generally a feature of digital media, that they somehow create a free flow of information that was lost or got proprietorized through analog media? So are analog media evil for the kind of work you do as artists who use different materials? Or is this not really an ideological barrier? Is it like now we have digital technology and now we can finally do what we want and what we always wanted to do? Or can we today also see limitations, aesthetic, technical limitations of digital media as such?
I mean, I think I think it's quite hard to say, actually, that the history of music was interrupted or disrupted by the invention of the phonograph. It's as if you would say that generally the history of production was disrupted by the invention of the factory. I think it's very much about what happens in that factory and who controls that factory and who runs it and who rules it and what the conditions are and how the means of production are distributed. I don't really buy that kind of wouldn't call it rural, but that kind of natural state that we would get to once all these technologies have been. I mean, there's this kind of rural the rural plus free software is something that as a vision for the future is not exactly mine, but I totally buy that. Given the late 20th century technology, that is personal computers plus the internet plus the open protocols and open specifications they rely on, there's hardly any way to get the genie back into the bottle, if you will say, like to get to make data that is out there to make it proprietary again without the means of a police state.
Lloyd, how was it for you? I mean, you are one here on the podium who really changed from analog media to digital media. You started as a photocopy artist and then became more or less a digital artist.
Yeah.
So would you say that digital technology has finally enabled you to do what you wanted to do originally, or is it something else?
It certainly made it a lot easier. I think one of the things the shift from analog to digital does is that it changes qualitatively the relationship with the kind of work you're copying, because when you're copying digital media, you're actually not copying it so much as reconstructing it in a new place, because the thing that you experienced in one place is exactly the same in another place in digital media. There's no generational loss. In fact, the data itself is the thing you're copying, and that's not what you're looking at. That's not what you're appreciating. The data is merely a sort of vehicle for a reconstruction of the experience. In analog, you always have the generational loss to consider when you're trying to work with found sound, for example, or with found photography. And so that automatically introduces some sort of aestheticization, perhaps, of that degeneration, that generational loss. With digital, you no longer have that. You have something, it basically makes the process a lot more efficient and a lot more perfect, and so it changes qualitatively, I think, the relationship with the media.
We have some people here in the audience. Maybe I start on the left.
Okay.
Yes.
Hi. I'm from the academic world, but also there you have the problem between sharing and doing something as a collective, and I would like to hear whether you feel the tension between doing something as a group and doing something anonymously, so group and not putting your name on your work, because there seems some tension when you put it on the web. I mean, you could choose not to be susceptible to liabilities by not putting your name on it.
Okay.
Is the question clear?
Can you take us?
I mean, it's hardly in the end. If it becomes a legal question, then it goes to the owners of domains and all these. I mean, in the U.S., it's absolutely illegal to operate something on the web that is not traceable to a real person, or that once traced has just a fake person behind it. So I think legally, when it really comes down to it, these fake personalities don't hold very often.
Mm-hmm. These are three choices, and imagine that in interaction with the
To whom are you posing the question?
I'm not really sure about your point, the point you want to make. The difference, if you do it on the web, like in contrast, if you do it where? Because it has always a lot to do with the context. Like I have experiences with doing all of it. I did work anonymously. I worked a lot collaboratively. And of course, like today, I use my own name, which is also very important to do from time to time, because you get credit on your names. I mean, and you have to do it. I mean, I live on the art I do. I live in the art context. So also, I'm trying to experiment a lot and undermine authorship and personal individual authorship, stuff like that. I'm always forced, you know, to come back to this point, to call myself an author, like I do now. I call myself author of these images. Also, I'm not the author of these images, but the art world has no problems with that. The art world has a problem with accepting that there is undefinable authors. Then it would be completely honest, interesting for the art world. So they want one name, like one label. What you are asking in terms of the internet, I'm not really sure what the difference is, because I think the name of the author is you are always looking for it, even if it's a false name. It can become a label, or you know, there's different examples that there is like a personality, a constructed personality that different people use. But then it already has a certain context, and people are listening to what this fictional author is saying. I think it's anonymous is like an experience from communication, online communication. If there is an anonymous posting on a mailing list, usually nobody cares about it because, you know, you don't know where it comes from.
Okay, we have somebody here on the right who is waiting
very long. Okay. I would like to add some comment of how important it is to consider different strategies and tactics in some context. When I heard Sebastian that you said that you don't need your lawyer's name on work to, you know, to share something, it really sounds sexy, especially these days when everybody are just so. When there is a big hype about Creative Commons, legal stuff and other things. And I think that's, especially from artistic perspective, that sounds progressive and new. I'm Marcel and I come from Croatia. And I think that it sounds sexy because it's part of some quite solid system. And then at some point it's good to do things which are completely illegal. I come from Croatia, which is not part of that solid system, and we started some things like localization of Creative Commons, where we set up a GNU GPL-based publishing label, and we have some problems in Croatia because, for example, collecting societies there are doing quite nasty business, and it's hard to share in Croatia, even it's not part of the system. And when I was doing some lectures in Serbia about that, they were just laughing, you know, because they don't have, you know, lawyers' names. There is no kind any copyright restrictions there. They're just really freely sharing. But what I think it's important is that if you will look at their artists, for example, from your perspective, it sounds progressive. It sounds up to date. They don't care about some hypes. But still, at the same time, if you are doing that, for example, in the country which is not in the system, then you are also doing something which is against the trend that your country will be part of that system. So, and being inside of that system, you will be, you know, it will be better for you. It's a luxury in a way. If you are inside of the system, you have you have better money from the country to be an artist. If you're in Serbia, there is no money that, you know, social benefits or whatever. So if you're doing the same thing, if you're doing that that anti-copyright or copylefting in that way, using that tactic, you are doing something which is not good for you or for your community, because regulation of copyright is one of the ultimate conditions which are forced, for example, from European Union, if your country will be part of European Union in the future. So what I'm trying to point is that some tactic or some strategy is quite great in certain contexts, but it could be maybe completely wrong in some other. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I think this is a very interesting point, and I would like to modify it now for our panel speakers. It's interesting that we have globalization occurring on several levels. We know the political and economical globalization, but we also have a globalization which is called Creative Commons. Yeah? And that is whose globalization is being presented here on this conference when Creative Commons will launch its German program and its German licenses here. So do you find this good, for example? It would be a direct question to anybody here on the panel. Do you think Creative Commons is the solution? And is this a kind of globalization that solves our problems and that is what you want to work with?
Well, I think you can't really say it. I was in this year's Ars Electronica jury who gave a golden ECA to Creative Commons. And this was not an easy step because when I came to Linz, I thought, well, I want to foster the arts and it should be a cool art project getting the prize. And in the end, it was me who suggested a Creative Commons, which is an absurd situation to give an art prize to a law project, to a non-profit organization run by lawyers. The reason for me was that I think it's not the solution, of course not. It's a niche solution within the bigger, it is something that exists within the system of copyright. It's not the solution for the future, I think it can't be. And what has not been mentioned so far is that copyright has a lot to do with economy. And I think if we talk about copyright, we have to talk about economic systems, how you can exchange what, how you give value, there's a lot of authors, even, you know, no matter how much you question the notion of the author, who live on their writing, on the work they do, photography, whatever. And if you drop copyright law, then you would have, I mean, it would imply that you have an economic model in mind, how then you can exchange whatever you need, you know, to make your living. I think it's very, very nice and anarchistic and sexy to say, well, hang all lawyers, all copyright lawyers, quote Sebastian. But what would then your model be for, you know, exchanging the work you do?
I think the full quote is, humanity won't be happy until the last copyright holder was hung by the guts of the last patent lawyer. And it's obviously also not the author, the original author of that. Mm-hmm. Can't claim authorship.
Mm-hmm. Okay, we have another question over here.
Just as a response to that last comment, I think Creative Commons, I'm from Creative Commons South Africa, by the way. The last comment.
Can you
about
speak
Creative
more directly in the microphone, please?
Yeah, sorry. I'm from Creative Commons South Africa. The last comment about Creative Commons as the solution. I think Creative Commons never says that they are the solution. Maybe it is an interim solution, but in terms of the economics of Creative Commons, Creative Commons never ever says that it wants to change copyright law completely. It just wants to carve out the rights under non-commercial terms for those types of uses that don't fall in the huge dynamics of copyright as it stands now in the law. So it doesn't really want to change copyright law as it is, but just change the system and make it more fair and balanced. I just had a question. I'm starting Creative Commons in South Africa, and just in relation to the comment from Croatia, I think it's a great issue to be raised, but and something that I've been really trying to look at in terms of South Africa, because people say, why do you need Creative Commons in South Africa. People don't care about copyright. They just share things freely anyway. And shouldn't people be able to make money from copyright? And the thing is, with Creative Commons, people have been able to make money still. I think that's what people really miss, the point of what Creative Commons tries to do. Something like Magnatune.org is a really small music company that allows people to give away their music freely online under Creative Commons licenses. But then if anyone wants to use their work under commercial terms, they have to sign a contract with Magnatune. And then they pay the artists, which has enabled people, artists from Eastern Europe and all around the world who never would have had audiences, to actually get contracts, get money from big markets like those in the US. So those are some of the issues that we're dealing with in South Africa. And I think, as Eben said, and as everyone really agrees with here, it's about freedom, and that's something that's relevant all over the world. But I just wanted to find, sorry, the question was that I wanted to ask the panelists, especially Lloyd, what do you see the role of artists in the new kind of environment where all of a sudden IP is very sexy, Creative Commons is very sexy? I'm trying to go to South Africa and trying to persuade artists that this is an important issue. It's something that no one can get away from, and it's an issue that I really think artists need to be engaging with to make it an issue that people understand widely. So how would you suggest, have you got any suggestions about how I should approach people and how you see yourselves in terms of your role as activists, or whether that's not an issue?
Well, on my more idealistic days, I tend to think that art is a gift that artists give to society. I don't feel that way every day, but I think the role of the artist in the IP world is the same as it's always been, is to sort of be a kind of spokesperson for voices and opinions that are not so easy to comprehend in any other way but through art. I think that what artists do is they take voices that they've heard from the past, they take the ideas of other artists, and I think they process them, and I think they emphasize those parts that resonate in their own personalities, and I think they bring forth new works based on that. And I think actually that a person who makes new work out of old work in some sense deserves the same amount of respect and even copyright protection, if you want to take it that far, as a person who creates a new work out of whole cloth, which I would argue is impossible, actually. So I don't know. I don't think the role of the artist has changed that much, but I do think the issues with intellectual property are kind of an assault on the notion of authorship as kind of paternalistic institution, and the notion of, I actually think that if you take it to its logical extreme, it's an assault on individuality in a sense, because I think it drives people to collaborate, do things anonymously, do things under pseudonyms. It drives people to question the notion of individuality in a sense. And I don't know if I think that's useful to ask questions about that.
I think part of what the question was about was, why aren't more artists really pissed off about this attack? Because basically, I mean, the first question from the audience was, do I have to worry? Under right. which jurisdiction do I have to worry? Everyone has to worry.
Right.
The internet, the laws don't have any kind of bearing on what the internet is about these days. And there can be, it's happened in South Africa even, and where supposedly copyright doesn't rule. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Everyone has to worry, and as an artist, for the first mm-hmm. time, really, you know, as people were saying before, you put up your art in a gallery, and that was fine. But for the first time, artists are now presented with a threat. And why mm-hmm. aren't more artists getting mad like people like you are?
Mm-hmm. Okay, Sebastian. I'm
not sure. This is really not for the first time. I think you're about to create a myth about this, because artists have always have legal problems.
if they have used material from other people. And at the point when they became famous and the work became famous and they started to make a lot of money, because this was the point when people said, wow, there's a piece of me in, a part of me in this work, and I want to share, I want you to share the profit with me. And I really, yeah, this is really my experience that I think this, you have to be afraid of this. There's a lot of paranoia. I mean, there's one, you know, I'm really supporting Creative Commons because I think it's at a starting point at the moment, and what we need to do is to work with it and see what happens. It's an experiment. If it changes anything, nobody can tell. You can only tell when you experiment with it, when you really make it. Mm-hmm. And that's the exciting point for me, and that's why I support it. I don't know if it's a solution for anything or not, mm-hmm. what will be proven, but I think the point was always, I mean, artists have always been sued when they were successful, when there was an economic potential involved in copyright infringement. This is the crucial point for everything. Otherwise, nobody cares what you do.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian?
I think I don't agree with your statement that everyone has to worry, and I'm quite sensitive or something towards these kinds of statements that everyone has to worry, because it sounds the same as if the music industry says, like, hey, all of you file sharers, each one of you, every single person here has to worry. No, obviously artists don't have to worry. Or, I mean, you could also say everyone who crosses the street here after the conference has to worry because they can be hit by a truck or something. I think people don't have to worry, and what drives the problem we represent, if I can mm-hmm. say so, the property issue that is at stake when it's or the economic issue that is at stake when we talk about art and copyright or anti-copyright, is that what drives the problem is joy. It's the joy of the people. It's the desire to disrespect 20th century copyright legislation in favor of using the technology of the 21st century. So this kind of everyone has to worry, I don't really buy it. And I also don't actually buy the sexiness of Creative Commons. I mean, it's obvious that Creative Commons is becoming very, very big this year, and it's fine. And it's, as it has been said before, it always depends on a situation. If there's a concrete situation where this makes sense, then it makes sense, and I'm all for it, and it's fine. And obviously, we also have to save rainforests and all that stuff. This is not cynical. This is good work. But then, in the end, there's also situations, and that's more where I'm work. What is my personal situation, where I see Creative Commons more as part of that like social democracy of the digital commons, that kind of peace agreement, that kind of intermediary that says, hey, let's keep some rights. Let's not burn down the whole thing. Let's not be stupid, but let's not burn down the whole thing. Let's be pragmatic. And I'm really looking forward to the points where, like, as we all know, even the GPL, the new public license, was never, maybe one time, people don't agree on that, tried in court, where people maybe even deliberately try to have the Creative Commons license crash into surrounding realities, actively disrespected, actively trying to enforce it where it's not possible, or where there's too big interests on another side. I'm really interested in the mess that it can create in certain situations.
That sounds like a good new project for you.
Sorry to interrupt you, but we have other people who want to speak as well. I would ask you to step up to the microphone, because otherwise we can't hear you. And I allow myself to pose one question while you're going there. Referring to Evan Moglen's speech, he said, I found it was very interesting. If we take Evan Moglen's speech and Creative Commons, they both talked a lot about art, but they both were projects. Well, what Evan Moglen represents and what Creative Commons represents is actually something that was coined by legal scholars. Now, Moglen at one point even said, we are all artists, referring to those who are programmers, who are building free hardware, who are building free networks, as he specified it. Are we happy with that? I mean, we can say, okay, finally the utopia of, for example, experimental art, Fluxus in the 1960s has arrived, Joseph Beuys, everyone is an artist, And now we have a community of people who identify themselves as artists. If that is the case, our panel here today is obsolete, because there is no sense in making a separate art panel in a conference where everyone is an artist. Do you agree with that? Or do we have to say, no, sorry, art is something separate, is something different from what Eben Moglen has presented us in his speech?
I wish to err on the side of inclusiveness and say that we all are artists.
Okay. Any dissenters with that?
Yeah, I mean, maybe all the people who are not artists couldn't afford the fee to get in or something. I mean, they must be somewhere. I mean, with also copyright as a problem being such a big thing this year, especially, or this season. I think we still should not forget that a lot of the question of are we all artists is a luxury question, and that the big property issues are still in the analog world. It's people who are denied their basic rights to material reproduction, not reproduction of symbols. But I don't know, when it comes to that struggle, we can now exchange our definitions of art. What is art? I would stick to, I would copy again Godard's definition that while culture is creating the rule, art would be creating exceptions. Now you can take that literally and say programmers who create exceptions whose programs do not work are the artists, and it's hard to say. I mean, it depends how broad you want to have that definition.
Okay, right? We better drop the question and pass the mic on to the people who are in the audience.
I almost started to sing, but I'm a lawyer, or maybe I should qualify my position. I'm a legal scholar who is troubled by the current state of copyright law. I would have two, but very short comments. Maybe one will be longer. Actually, I would have a comment to your question that
you could speak
yourself,
into the microphone.
Artist.
We can't hear you, sorry. If you could speak a little bit more
okay,
to the microphone.
Miss Zolf, artist Zolf Frank, you said that you are troubled for this last month with your idea. You created, you are doing some creations and you don't know whether you are an author of these creations or not. I would start with this statement that the copyright system was designed to achieve progress in society. Its ultimate goal should be to make more creations in society, and that's why the society should progress. While in real life, we face license agreements, superstars who earn tons of money. We face Microsoft, who is an author, and some other derivations of copyright system. My point is that you as an artist should respect this ultimate goal. This is to make as much creations as you can and to contribute to the progress of society.
Yeah, that's why I have five programs
so,
running
but
that
how,
permanently
how the
create
copyright
art.
Achieves that, yeah. Achieves this. It should be a balanced system of rights on one hand and exceptions on the other. But what kind of rights you have? On one side, you have economic rights. This means you earn money, you can eat, you can drink, and that's what you can create. And on the other side, you have moral rights. That means that we as society say, this is the art of you. And maybe you have rights that some other artist or other person do not disturb your work in some way. But these are rights who are granted to you. It's up to you whether you use rights or not. This is my first comment. And the second is, not all art is copyrighted art. So even if you produce some creations in this, it's not, they can be public domain. Nobody says that you have to protect it and that you have to call yourself an author and that you have opportunity to sign a license agreement and collect money. If I can continue that, I don't want to stop now because it seems like I am attacking. I think that you created a grand idea that you can produce many more creations. It doesn't matter who is the author. you produced more creations, and maybe we as a society will say, this is your idea, but you're not author of copyrighted work, so do not bother yourself with that. I mean, it's a great idea. You produce more works, and we can, you can give it to us.
You
have to be stuck in a copyright system. Maybe there is another system who produces more art that the society progresses better. Maybe you should listen to the lecture of Harvard professor William Fisher. I think it's this afternoon and also on Sunday. He suggests something else. Not that nobody is compensated. The artists are compensated, but copyright system is not the ultimate system. And the authors.
I think we all agree on this.
Should do that. And just, I will have to finish. But just one last remark. You say authors are sued so many times because of the laws. Who is suing who? Another author is suing another author that somebody demolished the work and disregarded the moral right.
The reason some of us are upset about copyright is not because artists are suing artists, it's because corporations are suing artists.
And
that's the problem.
I totally agree.
Yeah.
But also, artists are suing artists. And on the end, when Professor Moglen said, everyone is artist, unfortunately, yes. Microsoft is, I mean, Microsoft is an artist. What Microsoft produces is defended by copyright law.
Yeah.
I didn't want to attack here. I just wanted to say, I would conclude on the end, everyone has to change. We are saying that we would rather see that there would be more public domain. But when you are in position to claim fees on an article, on a legal article that I produced, do I say no, thank you? This is for the good of society. Do you say no, thank you when you produce an art? So this is the question we should be trying.
Well, the products of the NetArt Generator have always been in public domain, and I'm starting now to think about it for conceptual reason because I'm really interested in it. I mean, it's there anyway. You can download it, you can print it, you can do with it what you like. For me, it's a conceptual interest that I want to, because I live within the copyright system, I have no choice at the moment except Creative Commons. And that's why I was trying to analyze it using all these terms and parameters that are given through the legal system, just as an exemplifying it with this work, just for conceptual reasons.
Okay, we now get signs that we slowly have to finish. So we both would like to propose the following: that we again ask all artists here on the panel for brief statements. We have called this panel Art and Anti-Copyright Activism. Now we have somehow heard from your statements that you take more differentiated, more subtle standpoints, but maybe to sum it up and have a final impression from this panel, I would like to ask each of you to just say, maybe in 1 minute, are you an anti-copyright artist or not?
One minute, huh?
I'm a questioning copyright artist. I'm not decidedly anti-copyright anymore. I have some sense that copyright can be part of a system that plays fair with artists and creators. I think part of the problem with copyright is that it overreaches itself too much, and I think the fact that copyrights can be bought and sold and are not exclusively personal rights of people who actually create is a problem. I think maybe, I know that it would create problems, but I think maybe a step in the right direction would be to outlaw the sale of copyrights so that people cannot pass them on to corporations, for example. They belong only to an individual or a group of people who actually did the creating. I think that would serve creators. But beyond that, I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily anti-copyright. I'm just very skeptical of the whole notion.
Yeah, this is the same for me, and I think it's a good tendency at the moment that this is really becoming an issue and that a lot of people reflect upon their own approach they have. And I don't have one clear strategy, that's why I wouldn't call myself an activist. And I really see in what situation what is appropriate. So that's all I can say.
I think I think the copyright has its good and bad sides. So I'm not really an anti-capitalist activist. I'm mainly an anti-censorship activist. So, but in partly it has some intersections. So, but when I make online artworks, I mainly create environments for the users, because internet is about communication, internet is not about shopping, and internet is not about viewing nice pictures. So, and if you create an environment for the users, then the users create a content and the users create the whole website. So I'm not the owner of the content.
I think it's a tough question in the end. It's the identity question, and I really have to admit I don't have any opinion on copyright. If I was an artist, then why should I care about copyright? I should care about art. Stay away from. As an artist, I would not care about copyright. That would be it. Or if I was a politician or an activist or whatever, why would I care about the arts? I should then try to get done with copyright. Like, I just don't care about it. And I think the most massive political, if you can call it like that, but I think you can, the most massive political movement that endangers copyright, the masses of file sharers, are not people explicitly against copyright, but people who are beyond copyright, who do not care about it anymore. Mm-hmm. There's maybe one very short thing I might want to add. Since text.com has provided for all of you who stay until the very end of this thing, which is going to be soon, has provided some free beer and some free lunch upstairs in the exhibition. And as it is always, because there's so much talk about free beer and free lunch and what it has to do with free software and free whateverness. There's some, as it always is with free stuff, limited quantities, be quick, blah, blah, blah. It's in a shopping cart.
Thank you very much.